This is Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. Maryland's primary election for governor is just under 7 weeks away, on June 24th. Last week, we spoke with the Republican candidates for governor. This week, we're hearing from the major Democratic candidates for governor. Yesterday, we spoke with candidate and Maryland Attorney General Doug Gansler. Joining us today is Lieutenant Governor Anthony Brown. He lives in Prince George's County, and he joins me on the line from his campaign headquarters there. Welcome back to the show.
Hello, Sheila. It's great to be back on the show with you.
Now, what would your top priority be as governor?
Well, first of all, I'm running for governor because I believe that this is a great state. We've built the best of the nation schools. We have one of the strongest economies in the nation. We lead on college affordability. But I'm running because I believe that we can build a better Maryland and build a better Maryland for more Marylanders. So in direct response to your question, we do that by growing the economy. Creating jobs and ladders of opportunity for more and more Marylanders to, fill those jobs of today and tomorrow. I just recently rolled out a 5-point job creation economic growth plan, and it relies on on infrastructure investments and, educating and training Maryland workers in high demand jobs. We focus a lot on how we support small and entrepreneurial businesses that fuel Maryland's economy. Also, how we can make government more responsive to Marylanders and the business community. And finally, comprehensive tax reform and what relief we can provide to working families and to incentivize employers to invest in job-creating activities in Maryland, while at the same time protecting our priorities in education and safety and health and the environment.
I'm glad you mentioned the jobs plan that you unveiled this week. Lots of points to it, very, very comprehensive in that sense. What is different about these plans than what the O'Malley-Brown administration has been doing for two terms?
Well, I don't think the question is necessarily different, but what's next, right? So we have a strong economy. U.S. Chamber of Commerce ranks us number one for innovation and entrepreneurship. There are industry sectors that are still recovering from the recession. And with greater investments in infrastructure, we can certainly not only kickstart that sector, construction, not only deliver the infrastructure that supports, expanding communities and quality of life, but the indirect jobs. So a big piece of my jobs plan is using Maryland's resources, whether it's our operating budget or our capital budget, to make investments in projects like the Red Line in Baltimore City and Baltimore County, which is a $2.6 billion project, thousands of construction jobs, and supports many indirect jobs as a result of the economic growth around infrastructure. The Purple Line in the National Capital Region, Montgomery and Prince George's County, it's a $2.3 billion project with the ability to create thousands of construction jobs. And studies that have looked at both of those projects show that it'll result in tremendous revenues to the state as you create jobs, as commerce grows around these two projects, the transit centers, the metro stops along the line. And in fact, it's that revenue that's going to enable us to make the investments and pay for the jobs plan that I just recently rolled out.
On WIPR, this is Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cass, speaking with Lieutenant Governor Anthony Brown. He's seeking the Democratic nomination for governor. You mentioned comprehensive tax reform as part of your jobs plan, and there's this striking chart on your website with 5 columns and many, many points for the other elements of your jobs plan. And under taxes, it just says, create a blue ribbon commission on tax reform. What would you do?
Sure. I mean, tax reform is a very difficult and complicated undertaking. What I don't support is sort of piecemeal tax reform. I don't support, to reduce the corporate income tax as, the Attorney General proposed, which would leave the next governor with a $1.6 billion hole in their next budget. But rather to look at all of Maryland's revenue streams, whether it's the personal and corporate income tax, the sales tax, the property tax, and with three sort of goals or principles in mind. Number one is, how can we reform the tax code in a way that provides relief to working families in Maryland's middle class? The second thing, and this is why you see it under the jobs plan, is how can we reform, and what are the steps we need to do to incentivize employers to invest in job-creating activities in Maryland, whether it's tax relief, whether it's tax incentives. But that's an important principle. And then the third is, whatever we do to reform the tax code, to ensure that we can protect the investments and the progress that we've made in public education and public safety and in the environment and expansion of, you know, public health like Medicaid. So this Blue Ribbon Commission will be guided by those three principles, and we'll look at the entirety of the tax code and not only the revenues but also the impact it has on expenditures. I do believe it's reckless and irresponsible on a campaign to make a commitment to lower a tax, particularly a significant reduction in revenues, without a full discussion of what the offsetting revenues or reductions in expenditures need to be. So that's why you see that in the jobs plan, and that's why there isn't a lot of detail there, because this is what this group of smart individuals will do during the first year of the Brown-Ullman administration.
Let me shift gears. How does your leadership style differ from Governor O'Malley's?
Well, let me start by saying how Martin O'Malley and I differ, right? I'm a first-generation American. I spent 30 years in active and reserve military duty, 8 years in the General Assembly. And, you know, Martin O'Malley and I share so many values and shared goals. My leadership style, it probably differs from Martin O'Malley and others. While Governor O'Malley's been an effective leader, our styles are different. I am a very collaborative leader, not to say that he doesn't collaborate. But I believe that because of or due to my 8 years in the General Assembly, that sort of deliberative, democratic, governed by consensus and majority vote, it has become a big part of my leadership style.
Well, I ask it because you know the famous line from John Nance Gardner, who was Franklin Delano Roosevelt's vice president, that the vice presidency, I'll put it more delicately than he did, isn't worth a bucket of warm spit. He might have said the same thing about being lieutenant governor. I mean, you're inherently sort of overshadowed. So what did you do as lieutenant governor that you think prepares you to be the state's executive decision maker?
So in the O'Malley-Brown administration, we have positioned the office of the lieutenant governor in a way that we've never seen in the history of this state. I mean, the short history of the lieutenant governor, you know, about 40 years. Over the last 8 years, I've had the opportunity to work with, for example, advocates in the domestic violence community. And I've led, you know, a number of legislative initiatives. And as a result of the work that I've done and the work that advocates and others have done, we've driven violent against women and children down by over 20% in the last 5 or 6 years. I've had the opportunity to lead the state's effort on the base realignment and closure, which is a major economic development initiative and boost for the state of Maryland. You'll remember in 2007, 2008, we were coordinating infrastructure investments and priorities in higher education and K-12 education to accommodate the thousands of jobs that would be coming to Maryland as a result of base realignment and closure. And just recently, a report from DBED showed that the original goal was 15,000 direct jobs. We've supported 19,000 direct jobs. And together with the direct and indirect jobs, 49,000 jobs since 2007 have come to or have been created in Maryland as a result of base realignment and closure. And I coordinated that effort, coordinated the state's response and support to base realignment.
And you, we're almost out of time, and you know I have to ask you about this because one of the big jobs you had as lieutenant governor was being the governor's point man on the rollout of the Affordable Care Act. You know the criticism of the botched rollout. What do you say to people who question your ability to run the state when the highest profile task that you've been put in charge of had so many problems?
Yeah. Look, I'm not new to healthcare. Over the last 8 years, we've enrolled over 500,000 Marylanders and connected them to affordable quality health care. When we set out to launch Obamacare, and we launched our website, just like the president and the federal website, we had technical challenges. And, you know, I certainly, you know, sincerely regret that any Marylander was inconvenienced in accessing the website. And I don't think there's anyone more frustrated than I was. And that's why I took the action that I did. I, you know, reorganized the project and replaced the project leadership. We refocused and fired the vendors who didn't perform as we contracted. And after evaluating the resources and the capabilities at the exchange, you know, this post-launch period, you know, we plussed up staff at the call centers and navigators around the state. And the result, you know, we enrolled 330,000 Marylanders through Obamacare. And these are real Marylanders. I mean, this is that single mom, the same person we were fighting for when we increased the minimum wage, the single mom on minimum wage, who now can afford quality health care through the exchange. The
Lieutenant
family.
Governor Brown, we have to leave it there. I appreciate your talking to us. Thank you.
Thank you, Sheila.
Lieutenant Governor Anthony Brown, he's a Democratic candidate for governor. You can watch the first debate among Democratic candidates tonight on MPT from 7 to 8 p.m. We've got information on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. This is Maryland Morning on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cass. There's more ahead. Stay with us on 88.1.